those still operating on standard time?
No. No.
There's a clock.
It is fast.
Mm-hmm, I got it. Yeah.
Also, you keep this in your back for later.
Yeah. That's fine.
Johnson?
Hey, now you're, where's the puppy?
She owns that house.
Wait a minute.
I was down there last Sunday, I got the toy line in the backyard. She's beautiful.
Have you started any of her training yet?
A little bit, I had her out with coil legs, no. Teaching my grandson how to, and she's very, very neat. She comes and calls and is really.
She's beautiful, though.
Oh, she really is. She looks very different.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, she's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
She's cute. She's pretty.
Kind of lanky.
She's not quite that far.
And
that's the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Now 7 o'clock, we're opening the March 25th, 2015 regular meeting of the Savannah Planning Commission at this time. First order of business is pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This time we'll have a director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple items to report on. At last month's board of supervisors meeting gave a presentation on the subdivision requirements that they're retaining the streets, particularly those that haven't been taken by VDOT for space two. Currently, Jay Lindsay and I are working on a database. We'll list those streets and their status. That'll be available soon. In other business, the board supervisors did approve ZMP 1501 Memory Wing property LLC in order to amend the zoning map to I-1, or from I-1 to I-2. And that's the only other business to report.
Thank you. At this time, we'll have our first of two public comment sections for tonight. This public comment section is for any items that's not on our agenda. So anyone wishing to come forward at this time, you're limited to 3 minutes. Come forward and speak your name and address. Seeing nobody coming forward, we'll move on to a approval of minutes. Do I have a motion about the minutes?
I move to accept the minutes as presented.
Mr. Zimmerman makes a motion to accept the minutes as written. Do we have a second? Ms. Eager, seconds. All in favor, say aye. Chair votes aye, 4-0. The next item is a public hearing on ZMP 1405, Lake Monticello Volunteer Fire Department.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Rivers. You may recall this item came before you back in February meeting, and it was deferred until this month to give staff an opportunity to prepare the uses in A1 in the proposed zoning of R4, and that was done. Mr. Stewart wrote a memo to send your packet. If you've had an opportunity to read that, and if you have any questions with regard to that, I'd be happy to answer those or go back to any part of the presentation tonight.
Does anyone have any questions?
From what you reported, they would, the firemen, fire department would not be able to do what they wanted to do because of the setback. Is that correct?
Well, the setback issue was a byproduct. Anytime you have a zoning line between two adjacent parcels and you're contemplating expansion, it's generally not a good practice to have the line in there. And so I believe the applicant wants to remove the line, and doing that would also remove any potential setback issues. Also, continuity of zoning is also always a good practice. And I think that was the basis for.
All right,
opposing R4 zoning, because that's what the current firehouse is, R4.
Yeah, but if it's not approved, when I looked at it, I didn't see that they could, if it stays A1, I don't think they could do what they need to do because of the setback. Is that correct?
Well, the setbacks may be an issue. We haven't received a proposed sketch with many buildings on it, but like I said, anytime you have two different zoning classifications, then you're going to have different building setback requirements. And it could pose, I think it could pose more of an issue as if there was one zoning and one set of building setback requirements.
Any other questions? Would the applicant like to speak at this time?
These zoning sites at the firehouse, I live right at the firehouse, property comes behind me.
Yes, sir, we'll be open to the public hearing
in
just a few minutes, and you can come speak when I open the public hearing. We're hearing from the staff and the applicant at this time. When I open the public hearing, you'll have an opportunity to speak.
Thanks, sir.
The Lake Monticello Fire Department purchased the approximately 6 acres with the desire to have auxiliary parking, because we currently sometimes have 100 people at bingo. We run fire training, EMS training, and we have the people that come to our firehouse in the Maple Room end up parking across Slice Road, where they should not be parking, but there's no other place for them to park. And then they have to come across that dark road at night. The chiropractor has allowed us to tell people where they could use his lot. So parking is a premium. That's the primary thrust that we want to do immediately. The secondary issue is we wish to expand the firehouse so we can encompass vehicles that are currently parked on the site. We have two trailers and a response vehicle that are parked in all sorts of weather outside. We need additional space for that. We also need to expand the firehouse so we could have sleeping quarters so our members could be there in the evening and improve their response time rather than waiting to respond to the firehouse from their homes. that would be phase two, and that actual expansion would straddle the property line between the two pieces of property. That's one of the main reasons why we are seeking to rezone them, so we could do that. If they're zoned separately, we would not be able to expand the way we currently envision it. So our intention to be good neighbors, actually improve the way our site looks currently, with we're able to do this, improve parking lot, improve lighting, and such. So we think it would be not only an improvement for emergency response, which is our primary mission, but it would also improve the cosmetic way the property looks to our neighbors currently. So we have been good neighbors, we intend to be good neighbors. And we're not seeking any entrance to that property out from the highway. All access will be from our current parking facility, so people will come in behind the firehouse on Slice Road and they will continue driving onto this additional piece of property. And that's the reason we purchased the property, and we should have paid a premium for it because we didn't want to see it sold to someone else who may want to develop businesses or the such, because then we'd actually be landlocked. So, you know, we paid probably what we thought was more than we have to pay, but it was the only piece of property adjacent to us that gave us this opportunity, and that's why we're seeking the rezone. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for the applicant? Thank you. At this time, we're going to open the public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this matter may come forward to the microphone. You state your name, your address, and you will be limited to 3 minutes.
Good evening. My name is Clifford A. Shiflett. I live at H. Slice Road. I'm a neighbor of the Louisiana County Fire and Rescue Department, which we're good friends and get along well. My concern is along the property line where the bank drops down and the trees that have been planted there over the years. I believe the cypress is what kind of barrier is there going to be, and what kind of lighting, how high is the lighting going to be in the wreck. That's the only, you know, my concern. I support the fire department and all the efforts and what they do in the rescue. I just want to know if there's going to be any improvements from all that back. That was my main concern. This is my wife, Carolyn. She is with me tonight, and we can visit the fire and rescue every year. Thank you.
Staff, we could probably answer some of those questions. I do know that we have night showers about the lighting and so forth like that, and we have screening ordinance, planning ordinance.
That is correct. We do have parking lot landscaping requirements, and we have screening requirements, and we have require an outdoor lighting plan. If any lighting is proposed in the parking areas, yeah, fire more spaces.
Do you have a layer of the property which you're proposing?
Yes, sir. The applicant has a copy. I can provide you with a copy.
I haven't. The answer to that is that hasn't been established yet. That would be the next step in the development. Okay. All right. Thank you.
A photometric plan would be required if there's any lighting. That would have to be submitted along with development review for any improvements on the site.
As far as the lighting, is it going to be where it's just going to be lit all night long, like a automatic on-off switch?
Well, it's required to be full cutoff lighting, and so that means that when it shines down from underneath the bracket, mm-hmm. It can only extend a certain horizontal plane on the ground. And it cannot exceed 1.5 lumens at the property line. And so when they submit the photometric plan to staff, we have to review the plan in compliance with the outdoor lighting ordinance. And in conjunction with that, we'll also require a buffer along the property line.
We've got to ask those questions. I've been in construction for 41 years with RLE and Sons, so I know about the property and government. The way I'm friends with you guys. Any improvements, I welcome.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak on this matter, please come state your name and your address, please.
My name is Mark Timmons, and I live at 959 South Boston Road. And I have a couple of questions. One is, I don't know how do you expect us to comment too much on what we got here until we see what's going to be put up there? Because right now, it's like down the pig and pork, you don't know what's going on till you get it. The second thing I want to know is, what is the residential limited clause here? I don't have any problem with the fire department and rescue department expanding, and I understand they need space, and actually, they want to shut around more than half the rescue calls in the county of Florida, which is an admirable thing. But right now, you're asking us to comment, but we don't have the information.
Well, sir, we're actually doing the zoning, and well, for actual, what they propose to do is to expand the fire department for more space to park vehicles. Possibility in some of those would be some overnight accommodations for people that are running fire couples. And the main part of it is parking, which is if you there very often see sometimes the parking lot is absolutely packed. I go there to the Dogwood restaurant every Tuesday night, so I'm very familiar with what's there. And sometimes I don't understand how they get all the cars to get in that parking lot.
Hmm. Well, I have no problem with that. The thing I was looking at is when you said residential limited, are they going to be building houses over there, or is it just going to be houses for rescue squad and fire personnel?
That is planned at this time to our notice that they're going to have parking and expanding the building for the fire department. They proffered out some uses that could actually be done. The way it is with the A1, they actually build some houses or whatever, just like it is zoned now. And they want to have all of this zoned to R4, so it all conforms together, and so that the fire department will have more from our package and so forth like that. And the information supplies made for parking and expanding fire department facilities.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of comments on that. Mr. Townsend, one thing is that the existing fire company property is already zoned off to the limited residential. This would be the same zoning, but what's proposed here is the same zoning is already on the existing fire company property. Second thing is that Mr. Bibb said they have proper condition that says that if this rezoning is approved, they will not be able to build single-family attached, detached, or townhouse dwellings on the ground. So if they, for whatever reason, stop using it for the fire company, they would not be able to build houses on it. They could build certain things, but they couldn't build single-family houses, detached houses, attached houses, or townhouses.
Yeah, that's just my main concern. As long as that is the stipulation that's going to be written into it, then that's the contract that can't be broken. I'm happy with that.
So that's the condition that's been proposed by the applicant on the zone.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak at this time? Please state your name and your address, please. Seeing no one else wishing to come forward, we will open this up to discussion of the Planning Commission. Go ahead.
I've given this a lot of thought. I mean, if they concern, should be more concerned about what would happen to the property if the fire department sold it. It's okay, limited what you can do by restricting specific housing. So I would think it would be in everyone's best interest, the county and the neighbors, to commit this R4. And I'd love to hear the other commission.
A lot of what you say is the things I was going to say also. It is a civic use, and you can use civic uses, A1 or R4, although it would be best to have both of them at the same zoning. The fire department does a lot for this part of the county, and its location is good for Lake Monticello, Sycamore Square, and even the high school and like I said, I go there almost every week, and I see the problems that they do have parking, because you not only got the rescue squad and the fire department basically there in that parking lot kind of runs together. So I see last month on that Tuesday I was there, the parking was, somebody was trying to get in there, and they had to turn around and go across the road. So
I ran into issues with parking at the firehouse. I mean, probably a little more recently than last Thursday, just, you know, going to CVS and trying to run home right back. I think it was the beginning of May, but it probably wasn't a smart decision on my part.
The easement allows for it to be slow, you know, like I said.
Well, we have to really wait for the engineering report to tell us whether it's retaining wall or the slope. But in any case, it's not kept well down. That's one of the things I said.
Y'all need to discuss that later, later today. We
Right. But we will address that. And the other issue about lighting, the lighting was really important a lot with the timers, and it will only be used when there are events. Currently, and we had the company that put the lighting in at Peter with,
That's okay. We can discuss that later. Okay. We know a little bit about the zoning, about the lighting and the ordinance and stuff like that. Now, is any more discussion about this? I did notice something last night. I had seen the survey stake at a certain spot. And then last night it seemed like there was another further up. Is that part of this? Was it resurveyed again, or was that somebody else's property that's?
Well, we just did a new topographic survey for our site plan we're going to submit. There was additional survey in the past 2 weeks that would mark some additional forming property. So, yes, there's a new survey that's done recently.
Okay. Because I saw stakes at one point, and then I see it, at least one of them was in a different spot. So.
Can I ask where those stakes are at? The new stakes, you wonder where they are because she is.
They're right there on the road. I mean, there's stakes that have been there for
a while. No, that's not what she's saying. You said that you saw that there was another stake that had been put there in a different spot. She's asking where is that new stake that's been put there?
Mr. Lund, I suggest you can. We'll have to meet today to talk to them. Some stakes are marked property owners, and some stakes mark survey control markers. So. I couldn't
yeah,
even
and
talk
and
about
that,
it.
And
we
that
should really have to talk to about that.
Yeah, so that really doesn't have anything to do with what we're trying to do here. So, do I have a motion?
I move that the planning commission recommend approval of the attached ordinance for ZMP 1405 or request to amend zoning map with respect to approximately 6.134 acres of tax map 18 section A parcel 38F additionally rezoned the same from A1 agricultural general to R4 residential limited subject to the submitted draft proper.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Gaines. I have a second by Mrs. Eager. All in favor say aye. Chair votes aye, 5-0. It is approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, with the public's information, it is approved and recommended to the Board of Supervisors.
Exactly. It will go, we're just making a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. They make the final decision at the Board of Supervisors. They're the legal entity. We do a lot of the study work, and then we they like a rule.
Yes.
Site development plan. It is SDP 1502, Ryback Land Development.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This is a site development item. SDP 1502 is a major site development plan application. They're requesting sketch plan approval for 8,900 plus or minus square foot medical office and medical clinic and 18 additional parties. This site is behind the CVS. It's 2.92 acres, tax map 18, section 10, parcel 7A, and it is currently zoned B1, business general, with which does allow medical offices by right. It was rezoned to B1 back in 2007. This is a location, it's the hash mark parcel here, has frontage on Abbey, and the proposed access is from Rebecca, which is here. And Rebecca is between the existing CVS site and the proposed medical office site. Aerial image in the black and the yellow identifies the subject parcel. CVS, just to give you a point of reference, would be here. A few photographs for the commission. This is looking, this is at Rebecca, looking towards Sycamore Square and the subject parcel.
So the grass is the subject parcel?
Correct, yes, sir. View from Rebecca Road. This is from Augie's Alley, the townhouse community that you see there, and the gravel access easement that you see from Rebecca. The extension, the other side of that is there. And the ordinance does encourage interconnectivity on sites, and that's what this sketch plan is showing. This is taken from Abbey. Again, CVS in the background. It's the applicant's sketch plan. It's a little light on this paper, but this is the proposed building. It's the delineation of the proposed building. It's roughly 8,900 square feet on one level. Parking. Access from Rebecca, interconnectivity over to Augie's Alley, and Abbey here. Again, access is proposed off of Rebecca with interconnectivity through to Augie's, and that does, our ordinance does encourage that. The ordinance requires sidewalks to comply with the most recent DDOT standards on both sides of all roadways, public and private. There is existing sidewalks that run parallel with Abbey, and the applicant would have to install sidewalks parallel with Rebecca for better safe and convenient pedestrian access and interconnectivity. That's what we're going for there. There is a lot of residential in that area. Applicant is also proposing 48 parking spaces, which exceeds the number of required parking by the ordinance by 40%. So in that case, the ordinance says the Planning Commission has to approve that. The applicant's request letter is in your packet. Their justification for that, so they'd be more than 18 spaces over 30, which is what the ordinance requires for office. That's correct. That is correct.
It's want like three or four additional.
I don't know the exact number, but it's more than 40. It's more than 40%. The minimum required is 30 based on the square footage. If you divide 8,900 by 300, I believe that number comes out to 29 point and some odd change. So the requirement is 30, and then they're requesting 48.
So 40%. They do not do by right at 40% over 30, right?
40%.
42.
If it's 30, 40% over that would be 42.
42.
There is one question. In the package, one place it says 47, and then we say 48 years. In Justin's justification for additional parking, it says 47. It's just
could be typed.
We're talking about 48 or 47, so
I'm pretty sure we're talking about 48. I'll let
because if he was figuring it out. One space for 200 square feet, the normal medical office would come up to 45. So I was looking at all these different figures, 45, 47, 48, so in the package.
Right, I believe they are requesting 48. I'll let Mr. Schnapp explain that 47 number. I wasn't aware of.
Because even in your the writing, it says the planning commission, according to the zoning reference above, may approve additional 5 parking spaces in excess of 42.
The end of March 18th, whether it specifies 47.
So I'm trying to figure out.
Well, I think the number requested is 48. And the required number is 30. 3 times 4 is 12. 42 would be anything over 40% above 30 is 42. So I think if they require 46, that's 6 additional spaces. And,
okay. I was just, you know, I saw that in the thing about different places and different numbers in his March 18th letter and showing 47
discrepancy. Okay.
So you, whatever it is, you need to have the record be clear and what you're approving.
That's why I'm trying to solve that at this time.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware that it said 47 anywhere in the report. I thought it was 48 all the way through. So again, if there's one, I'll let Mr. Schimpf.
Mr. Schimpf's letter of March the 18th is the one on this match. It's 18. Talks about 47 spaces.
I reckon we can address it with him.
Yes, sir.
So, do anybody have any questions?
I wasn't quite done.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry,
that's okay. Water and sewer will be provided by Aqua Virginia. If you have access to water and sewer there. The sketch plan does appear to meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance, and staff is recommending approval of this item. Just a motion on your screen with the overage of parking. And with that, I'll let Mr. Schimpf explain the 7 instead of the 8.
I would suggest, Mr. Chairman, if you approve this, and specifically if you approve the second portion of it, that you specify the number of spaces you approve.
Is that absolutely correct?
Isn't
that sanctuary?
Well, a lot of doctors think they've got an
800 seat sanctuary in the classroom.
The motion is for the school.
That's for that.
We have
it.
Is your staff back?
We have it, right.
Okay. That's still doing the 10 phone calls I was taking that day.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to come forward?
Yes, thank you. The commission, my name is Justin Chin, engineer for the project. It appears that Mr. Tugwell and I are both guilty of a typo today. 48 is the requested number. And our letter is just this one for some reason. To tell you why exactly the site plan has 48. That's the number that the owner wants. They have a lot of experience developing medical offices, and they know that's the number they need based on the square footage to function. That's the origin of that. You all's ordinance really requires quite a bit less than most places that kind of use. So that's why we have this request for 40% of the percent. We'll be hitting provide require additional landscaping, which your ordinance calls for in this case. 6 extra spaces, so it'll be the appropriate number of additional trees in the landscape buffer. That would be our request. One other just note for you, any other questions? One note, if you look at the some of the VDOT comments are kind of confusing on this. And that's because there was some comments in a separate meeting that I had with Mark Wood and Chuck Proctor that actually happened in the meeting that we had a meeting that day that clarified it's not a 205 or 225 foot setback required for an entrance off Abbey Road. They, for whatever reason, placed Abbey Road as a primary highway, which it's not. And so the requirement is actually about 50 feet. So, met with them, and we'll have to move our entrances off both Audie's and Rebecca about 20 to 30 feet each to shift them around a lineup and meet the actual spacing requirements for that road. But we don't have to change it beyond that. There is some follow-up emails in there that suggest that was discussed and settled, but it's not immediately obvious if you read through those. So I just wanted to clarify that one item. Otherwise, I'm just here to answer any questions that you want to have.
We know you'll have to meet the VDOT requirements regardless. And I've noticed that handicap spots across front where they got to go, handicap people have got to go completely across that road to come into it. Plus the fact that that road runs straight up and down, and you've got entrances on both ends, and you have parking spaces where people have to cross traffic. I did have a little bit of concern about that. I don't know whether there's any way to reconfigure any of the parking to, just for the fact that that road goes completely straight through. It's not like an old parking lot where you've got a place like that, but they're only going in one direction, but people can go in both directions there. And the fact that those handicaps, I think, should be actually moved up to closer to the entrance and not have people, especially the handicap people, come up that road.
Right, so our layout, it does need ADA code access. There's a lot of things going on that about slope, that spot, those handicap parts are across the street, happens to be the flattest entrance in the front door. So that comes into play in this thing. Now, I think it wasn't clear even talking to just how well there was a specific requirement to have all the handicap spaces up there adjacent to the building that's going to be in the county code. If there is, we certainly will have to comply with that. So it sounds like you will have a code that would be stricter than ADA code, which requires to move those anyway. So we'll have to do that to find a plan. We have space to do that, because there's more spaces up adjacent to the building. We can do that to adjust our grading plan to meet the ADA grades.
Well, you got some on the side also.
Right. See, we have the ability to do it. We'll have to adjust our grading plan a little bit to accommodate that. But if that's a requirement of the code, we'll have to do that.
And you don't think there's any concern about those, that roadway being a traffic on both ways with as many parking spaces you have on the other side?
I don't really think so, because there's no opportunity or reason for him to drive through this parking lot to even cut through to go from CBS over. Like, we are going to introduce some, because of VDOT's requirements, we're going to introduce some little kinks, if you will, right? We're going to move the entrances line up basically straight right now. When we move those back, it's going to create a little bit of a jaw when you drive in, so it won't be a straight shot as it's shown now. That may
well, well, that was one of my concerns. You know people are going to use this to go from point A to point B. You're going to have, there's going to be a couple. I think Mr. Tugwell has something.
If I could just address Mr. Shinn's point, make it perfectly clear. It's also in my TRC comments, it's in your packet. It's section 22.26.4.5, handicap parking spaces shall be situated so as to provide direct, unobstructed access to buildings by the shortest practical route. So that comment was mentioned in the TRC in the letter, and so, it should be as close to the front door as possible.
It's some type of private road. There's some strange things with this subdivision where they platted things and all, but it's not part of the state system. It's a private little stub out that just goes in behind maybe 100 feet into our site adjacent. We can connect to it. So it's not a public street.
Okay,
Well, it ends just, it really just kind of comes in and turns over to the apartments, I believe, over the picture, or the apartments, the townhomes there. Our right to it ends at the little dashed line, you can see the plan there.
At the top?
On the right side, you'll see there's all these alleys and far right. The little dashed line there is the extent of our easement, the right-of-way, to that particular section of road.
Was there any was there any effort to address the concern expressed here for section 22-26-3F about the parking spaces in between the right-of-way and the building? I think it's agreeing that that's not necessarily a must-do.
It's not. The sidewalks and the handicap parking are
relegated parking, would be nice. We, orders just can't compel.
Right.
Can't compel that. We do like to avoid that. I think in this case, Mr. Shemp has stated to me, he gave me a couple of reasons why, from an engineering perspective, why that wouldn't work.
But, I mean, I didn't see it addressed here, but you did address it.
That is one thing that, I don't remember whether you were on commission at the time, but the commission addressed a lot of these issues. Relegated parking came up, and it was decided not to make relegated parking mandatory, but to encourage it. That's what, it wasn't something we missed, it was, that was the first.
The actual word says to the greatest extent possible.
Right.
I would just, you know, that was some of the concerns, and I wanted to make sure that we knew about the, that you knew about the handicap and so forth, that it was required and so forth. And that was a little bit of a concern, but I know it's not required, but it was just a thought that, you know, maybe thinking about some of the other stuff out there. At one time, we had a concern about the entrance, but it looked like that's resolved. Anybody have any more questions for the applicant? Thank you. Now it's time we have a discussion with the Planning Commission. Anybody have any comments or? I think they're trying to address most of the concerns. I know they, we had concerns about the VDOT stuff, about the entrance, and I know that they could try to work with VDOT on those. We know about the fact now that the handicap is going to be required up closer to the building and something like that. I was at this site last night also, so. Right, near the policy makes a very good idea, and I think it would be.
Staff has been working on this with Mr. Payne and Christina Guidry for a while.
somebody needs to initiate the commission of the board. You can do that tonight. Mr. Chairman, let me make two comments. First of all, this is one of these things where, as a practical matter, you don't have much discretion. This is the child of the federal regulation that came out of Agnes and Camille. And you have two choices. You can either do it the way they say it and get flood insurance, or you can not do it the way they say it and nobody gets flood insurance. So I think your decision is pretty clear from that. As you go through and read this, this ordinance doesn't look much like the zoning ordinance you're used to. We have tried to make it substantively as consistent with the rest of the ordinance as possible. And I think it's not unlawful or anything. There's a lot of the drafting that I would consider awkward. I certainly wouldn't have drafted it that way. We didn't draft the changes that way. DCR and the Office of Numbers at FEMA influenced a lot of that. It's not game changers. It's not fatal. But just as you read through it, if you see things that perform on them look familiar, that's why. And it is. I won't say it's absolutely negative, but believe it, but it's pretty close to the indication. The other thing is that in the course of developing the amendments to this section of the ordinance, we are recommending that you have, that you make changes to a few of the definitions in the general ordinance. And they're all the ones that relate to floodplains. And they're simply changing the general definitions to mirror the specialized definitions here to the extent that they overlap. So that would be definitions of elevated building, base flood elevation, special flood hazard area, floodplain or floodplain, floodplain area, floodway, and substantial damage. Other than that, my recommendation is that you initiate the process to put it before the Board of Supervisors for adoption.
Do you get that by motion?
I think you do it by motion.
Do we make a motion to bring it to our April 22nd meeting for a public hearing?
No. What you do is you make a motion to initiate the amendment to the section 22-1 rules of construction definitions with respect to those seven terms that I just outlined, and I have a copy over here to put that in the record, and adopt with, as amended, section 22-17-8A of the county code.
And Mr. Stewart, it's going to be on our April 22nd agenda for a public hearing.
That was the plan, but we can hold this as a.
I don't see any problem with that. I just I think we make that motion and we can do that and we can have some general discussion at our work session about it also.
We can even hold off on that if the commission's comfortable with that.
That might be a good idea if it's not terribly urgent. Just go ahead and look at it at your work session and maybe we brush up the forms to you. So by the time you're April meeting comes up, we can have proposed amending ordinance currently in one piece.
So we should be making a motion to initiate this now?
No. I think what Mr. Stewart is, I think what he's recommending is that you do that at your April meeting after you've discussed the section 22-17-8. substance of it come under your work session.
Correct. I see what you're saying.
Prepare the motion with the correct sections.
Right, in the adopting language and all that kind of.
Mr. Chairman, there's just one more point on this that, if DCR explained it to me and it took a second for me to understand it. They, and when I say they, I mean FEMA and DCR in the document use the term variance in a different way than we usually use it. So it often refers in there to a variance of their flood regulations, not our typical variance that we do.
It would probably be better to call that a variation or a modification or something, but this is one of those things where this is the language they want. Go ahead and do it.
You have to follow federal guidelines.
Sure.
They're not guidelines. They're like, who causes imperial orders and that kind of thing.
Chances are they probably want us to change it again. Even though they're supposedly happy right now.
Mrs. Gidry did a good job working with these people on this, and I think everybody's happier that she did instead of me.
Do you have any more comments?
No, I just wanted to make sure that you all were safe of the confusion that I had for the general question.
Anything? There's no more items on the agenda here, but also an unfinished business. We were giving our copy of the public safety part for the comprehensive plan that we've been trying to get them for on that. And so we'll also be discussing that at the work session, and so that we can go forward with moving the comprehensive plan along and doing a review of all the final copies so we can move that on to the board.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Just a note on that version. Cheryl Wilkinson got it to us, and I found a few minor errors and typos, and those are highlighted in there. So if you see something that's highlighted, those are the things that I found, and she's already aware of and is working to fix those. But you know, we thought that it was important to get it to you as soon as possible, so just be aware that those things will be changed. For example, in one part, it says that the crime rate is going up, and then a little while later, it says the crime rate is going down. And what had happened there is that some of the phrasing was from the 09 plan, and she hadn't caught that. So it's just little things like that, but we'll have all those ironed out by the next time we meet.
Okay, does anybody have any other questions? Any other unfinished business? Do we have any? We have the one item on the new business is a 2014 development activity report, which is included in our package. And normally we make a motion to accept this as our report, our yearly report. So we normally have to vote on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a very brief presentation of the development activity report. Obviously, it's a pretty easy document, so these are just the highlights. This is the cover. I just thought you might want to see it in color since if you have a printout, it wouldn't be. Development activity report allows land use comparisons and trends to be seen over time, which provides important clues for future needs, such as new school bus routes and traffic systems. This report reflects the outcome of developments by election district and land use planning area and evaluates Louisiana County's preservation initiatives. It also allows an analytical observation of the relationship between land use planning and various application requests, and it provides a quantitative summary of development through 2014 and indicates where this growth is taking place. That is smaller than I anticipated. In the land use planning areas, Louisiana's comprehensive plan adopted in 2009 continues to influence growth and development decisions. The comprehensive plan's designated growth areas cover 11% or 20,000 acres of the county. The growth areas, which are known as community development areas, are located near existing population centers and are intended to receive the majority of new development. Roughly 89% of the county is designated as rural by the comprehensive plan. There are two designations for rural areas, rural residential and rural preservation. Now we're getting into the actual development. Building permits. 70 building permits for new homes were issued in 2014. This was a 20.5% decrease from the 88 permits issued in 2013. 27 building permits for new homes were issued within designated growth areas, and 43 were issued in the rural areas. 47 new lots were approved for subdivision in 2014. This was a massive increase from the 13 new lots that were approved in 2013. 31 of the new lots approved were within the designated growth areas. 16 of them were within the rural areas. Most of the new lots approved within the rural areas were associated with the family subdivisions. Regarding site development plans, 14 site development plans were reviewed in 2014, a 7% increase from the 13 reviewed in 2013. Just over 42% of the site development plans reviewed were located within the designated growth areas. 8 special use permits were reviewed in 2014, the same amount as reviewed in 2012 and in 2013. 4 of the special use permits reviewed were located outside of designated growth areas. That's half of them. 5 rezoning applications were considered in 2014, 3 of them were approved. No zoning text amendments were approved in 2014. 3 variances were granted by the Board of Zoning Appeals in 2014. The PZA had not considered a variance since March 2nd of 2010. Regarding code compliance, and this does require a little bit of a note, if these numbers seem small, these are only the ones that went to the level of getting a case number. So if Mr. Miller, the enforcement officer, was called out and there was no problem, we don't count that as a code enforcement. Similarly, if he went out and there was a mild problem and he mentioned it and they abated it right away, it wouldn't get a case number, and so it isn't included here. So these are just the ones that went all the way into enforcement. 8 complaints were investigated in 2014, which was a 43% decrease from the 12 complaints investigated in 2013. 5 of the code compliance cases initiated were resolved, and 3 are still pending resolution. There are 19 agricultural and forestal districts, which we call AFDs, in Fluvanna County. This includes 18,299 acres, or almost 10% of the county. AFD enrollment decreased by approximately 396 acres in 2014. There are 330 parcels included in the AFDs. As of January of this year, 13,266 acres of the county were protected by conservation easements held by various organizations. As of January of this year, 111,140 acres of the county, which is 59.9%, were enrolled within the land use taxation program. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Yes.
Should be one variance, or actually three.
Only one variance, and then I apologize.
The two other were appeals determination. And also, you have Mr. Miller, as a part-time.
Oh, he's
got
full-time.
Okay.
Any other
questions?
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions? Do we have a motion to accept this as our report for the year that we're required to do?
I'd also like to say that Jason,
That paints a better picture. I wonder if that should be something that's better reflected in there.
Well, you can see the impact of the changes in zoning that you made in the past 2 years. It's made available growth-type zoning to accommodate the planned growth. So I would say the plan appears to be working. The criticisms of people who love that have loved that in the past are really beginning to shift away.
Yeah, I think you did a good job. And I'll make a motion that we accept the development to be in court for 2014. And
Mr. Pinker, should they include that I'll be correcting those two minor things, those two changes?
I assume that your motion included the changes that you made. Okay.
I have a motion by Ms. Eager to set this out as our yearly report. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Johnson, second. I have a motion by Ms. Eager, second by Mr. Johnson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have any other things for us tonight, Mr. Stewart?
Just that we're planning on having a work session this month in April. It's kind of scheduled last month, but we'll be discussing comprehensive plan and other things. But we're going to try to get Mr. Thompson at one of our meetings in April. I'm not sure. They're in the process of moving the fourth meeting from the administration building here. And it's been difficult to reach the past couple of weeks. But we're going to try to get Mr. Thompson from Extension to talk with us about how to do this.
I'm going to see him tomorrow at a 4-H meeting. I'm going to tell him what are the dates.
If you can make either one, we'll be glad that. He knows we're trying to track him.
If there's no further business, we will adjourn at 8:05.
What's that?
Thanks, yeah.